Matt and Sam pushed themselves away from the table at about the same time.
Hey, Lynn. The apple pie was great. We'll be back later. Be sure to keep some for us.
A tall man stepped out from the kitchen beside Lynn and held out his hand.
For you, we'll keep the whole pie. My name's Charlie Hacker, and I'm glad to meet you. Just got in from a business trip arranging for some supplies. My wife said you were here. Glad you came in. Heard how you faced King Petty this afternoon. Took a lot of guts.
The toughest part is still to come, I think. But thanks. My compliments to your wife. She's a hell of a cook.
That she is.
A man opened the door and stepped inside.
Hello, Marshall. What brings you here? I could give you some free coffee, but I know you usually stick to alcohol.
I wanted to have a talk with these strangers. I don't like roughnecks shooting up my town.
Sam's eyes grew hard and he started to stand. Holt took a half step back.
You strangers look like trouble. Well, now the rest of you boys better take warning. If I have to run them in, I might bring you all in as well.
Matt then stood up to his full height beside Sam. Holt took another half step back.
Don't go making empty threats, Holt. We all know you're just following orders.
No, Charlie, let him talk. Let's hear what the Marshal has to say.
All right, I was blowing hot air, I admit it. But this is on the straight. Now, Charlie, Henry, I've known you two all our lives. Though you've never liked me much, I feel I owe you a fair warning. The king ain't too pleased with the way things are going, and that's the truth. Now, he'll kill these two, even if they're supposed to be top guns. You know he will. And if you hang around with them, he'll probably also kill you.
That warning may be the only decent thing you've done since we allowed you to take office at Petty's insistence.
Well, doesn't it scare you? You're all seeing what Petty can do. You know what he's trying to do with that widow woman, harassing her like that.
Sam's hand suddenly snatched Holt's shirt and pulled him across the table to him.
What's he doing to the woman?
Well, I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. Just leave me alone.
Sam lifted the portly man off the ground.
As a general rule, I try not to beat up on pathetic little men such as yourself. But I can make the exception. What's going on with Lily?
We just paid her a little visit, is all. We didn't touch her or anything. Nobody would dare do that unless King gave the go-ahead, and he has his eyes on her.
Sam threw Holt to the floor. He landed on his feet, stumbled, but remained standing.
Don't say anything to King about this, would you? He sent me over here to scare you. If he knew I failed like those other two did.
So, he got my message.
He got it.
Not likely any of us are going to be having dinner conversation with Petty anytime soon. Why don't you tell him you did your job?
Well, he won't believe me. Hell, I'm beginning to wish I never took this job.
You can always quit. There's still some of us on the town council that'd be willing to hire a big gun to come in and clean up the town.
Nope. I don't think King would let me quit. But believe me, this job's getting too dangerous for my health. I'd quit if I could. If I were you, I wouldn't talk much about those ideas of bringing in somebody to get rid of Petty. He doesn't need much reason to kill you.
Holt hitched up his pants and tried to swagger out.
Kind of sad, isn't it?
He used to be the town drunk. Petty, picking him from Marshall, was his way of thumbing his nose at us. As if all the murder and mayhem he committed wasn't enough.
Hope he stays out of the way when the shooting starts again. Don't think he'd last very long in a real fight. Maybe we should pay a visit to your friend and her son?
The sooner, the better. I don't much like Holt's talk.
We'll figure out tomorrow what to do about Brown's cattle.
Thanks for the meal, Charlie. Next time, we'll pay.
When you coming back?
Do you serve breakfast?
Matt and Sam left the others sitting around the table talking.
Those two are quite a pair. Sam already stood up to Petty. Matt looks like he'd be willing. Think they'd be interested in official jobs?
You mean like replacing Holt with Matt or Sam? A nice thought, but I don't know if they'd be interested or not. I imagine they've done some law officer work in their day, though they don't look like the usual lawman material. I know they'd never run from a fight.
They're hard to figure. Maybe they follow their own code. Matt seemed hesitant to help me and Daryl at first, but now I think he's scrapping for a fight with Petty. I'm not sure what to make of him.
Of course, we did apologize and offer to fry up some fish for them.
Hell, maybe that's a secret. If we want to hire one of those boys, don't offer them money or appeal to their nobler instincts. Instead, give them all the Lynn's cooking they want. That might keep them around town for a while.
You know, that's crazy enough, it might just work.
Sam and Matt were always careful when they traveled, but now their senses were more alert than usual. They knew they challenged Petty and the killer would want to add their notches to his gun. As always, though, they rode easily, as if they hadn't a care in the world.
You think we're a little on the crazy side?
No doubt of it, especially in your case.
You get us into this mess, and you can say that about me?
Well, look at it logically. You give up a perfectly good fishing day to wrestle a bull. I sure as hell would like to have seen that. Then you become friends with a fellow that tried to beat the crap out of you. And now you offer to chase down some rustlers. Does any of that make any sense?
At least the Browns fried up supper for us, until you made your dramatic entrance.
True. On the other hand, the person I helped is a pretty woman.
You do have me there. We've run across a lot of hard cases in our time, but sounds like this King Petty is about as bad as they come. These people really do need our help.
I agree. A person would have to be a little crazy to get involved. But nobody ever said we had good sense.
It helps keep life interesting.
The two blood brothers rode quickly, though they did not seem to hurry. Matt and Sam noticed the green grass, the clear creeks, the plowed fields.
This is some decent land. I'd rather run cattle than farm, but to each his own. This area could handle just about anything you want to do.
I think this is Brandom land. I only rode Lily part of the way home. I probably should have made sure she was safe.
Matt and Sam stopped abruptly as they came to the top of a small hill where a freshly dug grave overlooked a farmhouse. It could have been a pretty picture, with the house and trees in the front yard under the early evening stars. The grave, however, was a grim reminder of the troubles facing the woman and her son. The house was dark. No movement could be seen anywhere, not even in the barn.
Maybe they're sleeping. Holt said they didn't hurt her.
They could have come back.
Let's separate and move it.
The shot spurred Matt and Sam into action. They worked together as a well-practiced team, each instinctively knowing what to do. Matt jumped to the ground, pulled his Colt, and rolled to the right. Sam scanned the area as he slipped to the ground and rolled to the left.
Don't shoot.
Why not?
The shots are coming from the house.
Not a very good shot.
Exactly. It's probably Lily. She saw us out here and got spooked. Petty's men would be a little more enthusiastic in their attack.
Sounds reasonable. I'm getting a little tired of being shot at, but I can't blame the woman for shooting first and asking questions later. Not with her husband just dead and threats from Petty and his men. I have to give her credit for paying attention and not giving up.
Wait here for a few minutes. I don't think anybody else is around, but you might want to keep watch just in case.
You got it.
Sam seemed to blend in with the gathering darkness. Even Matt, whose wilderness skills were almost as good as Sam's, had difficulty keeping track of him. Sam moved close to the house where Lily could see him from the window when he chose to show himself. For the moment, he hid behind a huge oak tree in the front yard so one of Lily's wild shots wouldn't accidentally hit him.
Lily! Don't shoot! It's Sam!
The voice from inside the house was faint, but the words were plain.
Sam! I'm coming out.
Sam stepped out from behind the tree in plain sight as the door opened. Lily came running out, still holding the gun, followed by Tommy. She hugged Sam.
Are you all right?
Yes. Some of Petty's men came out and threatened us. They were horrible, but they didn't hurt us. I found my husband's gun, but I wasn't even sure how to use it. I saw somebody out there and I shot. Oh, I could have killed you. I'm so sorry.
You did the right thing. When you're attacked, you defend yourself. Simple as that.
Are you here to stay?
For a while. I'd like you to meet somebody. This is my partner, Matt Bodine.
Lily let go of Sam and held out her hand to Matt. She was still concerned, but her eyes sparkled a little as Matt took her hand in his.
Glad to make your acquaintance, ma'am.
I'm sorry I shot at you.
Oh, don't worry about it. Sam told me you were a strong and beautiful woman. He told the truth. I have a lot of respect for you. It's not often you find a woman with both strength and beauty.
Lily allowed Matt to continue to hold her hand in his and smiled self-consciously.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Sam smiled and slightly shook his head. Matt could be very charming when he wanted. Even he could not take away the woman's grief, but he could put a tiny sparkle in her eye in the midst of her fear.
Would y'all come in for some coffee?
Thank you. That would be fine.
Matt handed the reins of the horses to Sam as he walked into the house with Lily.
Well, I'll be...
Though Lily had known Sam for only a few hours, he made her feel safe, and his partner, Matt, seemed just as competent and, if anything, was even more charming than Sam. Nothing could take away the pain she felt, but for a few moments, she allowed herself the luxury of losing herself in Sam's businesslike strength and Matt's attentions. For the moment, it was the only comfort she had. She went into the kitchen, built up the fire in the stove, and filled the coffee pot with water. As the pot heated up, she sat wearily at the table, put her hand on her arm, and promptly fell into a deep and dreamless sleep. King Petty was getting damn tired of the idiots he had working for him. He knew eventually he would face Sam one-to-one and kill him. However, he did expect more than he was getting from his men. They couldn't even make a threat stick. Marshal Holt coming back into the saloon didn't help matters any. The joke was wearing thin.
What is it, Holt?
Had a little talk with Two Wolves and Bodine and the others. I told them to back up or else.
Good. And what happened?
Oh, they acted a little upset.
You know what, Holt? I don't like you. I never did like you. You're nothing but a weak drunk. A joke.
I do the best I can.
I've thought of a good punishment for all you weaklings. First thing tomorrow, take those other two clowns out to the Brandon place. Try to make good your threat to the woman.
But there's no need to dig up the body. We know you killed Brandon. It's self-defense. Now, if you want the woman, why don't you just take her? What's the use of torturing her that way?
Because I want to bother the woman just for the hell of it. Because it will bother Two Wolves. Because maybe Two Wolves will kill all of you and save me the trouble. The reasons aren't any concern of yours. Are you arguing with me?
No, I never argue with you. I'll find the others. We'll take care of it.
Tomorrow morning. Now get out of my sight.
In the front room, Matt and Sam talked quietly among themselves. Tommy was sitting in an easy chair, sleeping.
The poor woman and kid are exhausted. They've been going on sheer guts.
It is amazing. But weren't you spreading it on a little thick back there even for you?
Not really. The woman's hurting. I gave her a few compliments, which were sincere, by the way, to make her feel a little better. I think she deserves at least that much.
In the chair, Tommy snored slightly.
Fair enough. But now let's get back to business. You check out the house. Make sure it's secure. I'll check out the barn and the rest of the area. Then we'll let these two get some sleep.
Sounds good. Take a look at this.
Bodine pointed to the woman sleeping at the table while the coffee boiled on the stove.
Let's get them to bed. We'll take turns guarding the house.
Matt reached down and picked up Lily in his arms as if she were a child.
Ugh. Jack.
Matt carried her into the other room and put her on the bed. Sam did the same for Tommy, but put him on his blanket on the floor.
How do we get into these situations?
Guess we just lead charmed lives.
At least we got plenty of coffee. I doubt if King's men will be back tonight, but at least these two will be able to get a little sleep.
Cooper still hurt. He didn't know which was worse, the kick from Petty or the punches from Matt and Sam. He walked carefully and placed his broad body on a stump. Hardesty sipped from a bottle and then slipped it to Cooper.
Here, this'll help.
I'm not sure anything'll help. Damn.
They could see the back of the Black Bull Saloon several hundred feet away. The door occasionally opened and closed, casting squares of light in the darkness.
Hardesty, can you believe the way Petty treated us?
Lucky he didn't kill us. I still say we should have ridden away when we had the chance. He didn't expect Two Wolves to be so tough either. Hell, it's like he ain't human or something.
Well, he's got senses like an engine. He seemed to know where we were before we did. Damn.
The bottle passed back and forth.
Well, we need to do something.
Yeah? Like what?
Well, let's try again. and this time do it right.
You're crazy. You want to face two wolves and Bodine again?
You want to face Petty?
Well, you have a point.
How do we do that?
Don't you two have anything else better to do than sit around and drink?
Can you think of anything better?
Hell no. So pass me the bottle. Bad news. King's been thinking again. He's got another job for us to do. He wants us to finish the job Con and me started.
Oh, no.
Holt explained the plan to harass the widow.
Is King crazy?
Of course, but I'm not going to call him on it.
This could be our chance to fix things up.
Sam took the first shift, Matt the second. Even so, Sam got up long before dawn and joined Matt in the kitchen. He reached for the coffee pot, poured himself a cup, and sat at the table with Matt.
A quiet night.
Thank goodness for that. At least for the sake of Lily and the boy. They've been through a lot.
I've been thinking about this during the night. About the best way to handle this situation. Lily and Tommy are alone. A mad killer is after them. The best and easiest way to deal with this is just go into town and take out the problem.
True, but that creates another problem, doesn't it? You don't believe in killing in cold blood, no matter how much it is deserved. But we can't just leave the family here without protection.
At the same time, neither one of us can really afford to stay here and guard the family indefinitely.
Quite a problem. And if King Petty is like most of his type, he won't face us man to man. His kind are always tough as long as they have the upper hand. But let somebody face them who might be as good or better, and they turn tail and run.
We bring the fight to him. We've got plenty of help on that one.
So we will. Of course, there's no guarantee Petty will be in on that escapade. If he senses trouble, he'll probably stay clear.
Or we might flush him out. Never know until you try.
And in the meantime, we need to do something about Lily and Tommy.
I'd suggest the first thing is to teach Lily a little more about shooting.
Are you volunteering?
Of course. I'm always willing to help a damsel in distress, especially a pretty one. You know me better than that. I'd never take advantage of someone hurting like she is. But I'd have to be blind to ignore the fact that she is a bright and pretty woman. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I suppose not. You do have something of the White Knight in you.
Unfortunately, it's a quality I think we both share.
It gets us in trouble.
But you meet so many interesting people that way.
So you do.
Helping Lily learn to shoot is a simple thing, but it might make a difference.
Good morning.
Matt and Sam stood as the woman entered. Lily seemed surprised at their action. She smiled and walked over to the stove.
Let me make y'all some fresh coffee so you can have something to drink while I make the biscuits. Y'all haven't been up all night, have you?
One of us has. We thought it might be best, at least for the one night.
There's no way I can thank you. This whole thing has me totally lost. I was so frightened.
Well, with good reason. To be honest, I don't know how you all are holding up as well as you are.
It just doesn't seem real. One minute, Jack's alive and we're a family, and the next, he's gone.
It looked for a second like Lily would start to cry again, but she found some strength from somewhere inside herself. She turned to her biscuits.
Oh, I'm still in a state of shock. I was so tired last night, I don't even remember going to bed. Last thing I know, we were talking to you all, and then it was morning.
Even at that, you didn't get much sleep.
We're still feeling better.
How's Tommy?
He's outside doing his chores now.
I think I'll slip outside and see how he's getting along, if you don't mind.
Do whatever you think is best. I trust you and Matt completely. As long as you get back in time for breakfast.
Thanks. Wouldn't miss it for the world. I'll be back in a little while.
Don't hurry too fast. That'll leave more breakfast for me.
Don't you wish?
Lily poured Matt a fresh cup of coffee, then prepared the biscuits for baking. Matt leaned back in his chair, sipped his coffee, and watched the woman work. She was pretty, but she also had an easy way about her in the kitchen. Her movements were graceful and efficient. The domestic scene unsettled Matt a little. He was used to camping or eating in saloons and restaurants where the meals were often interrupted by fights. For a minute, he tried to imagine himself giving up a life of wandering and excitement in favor of home and family. It was not the first time Matt considered the question. it wouldn't be the last.
Matt, I have a question.
Shoot.
Sam didn't really go out to help Tommy, did he? He really went out to make sure he wasn't in any danger.
You're a smart woman, Lily. Sam is a careful man.
Why are you two doing this? I mean, it's not your fight. Sam risked his life yesterday for me, even though he had no idea who I was. Now, you're here with him, helping us as if we were family or something, and from what I can tell, you've made a terrible enemy in King Petty. You've put yourself at great risk. It doesn't make any sense.
I guess the easiest answer to that question is simply, we wanted to.
She shook her head and brought the biscuits from the oven. Matt saw they were brown and looked delicious.
I've always prided myself on my biscuits. Jack always liked them.
I'll be honest with you, Lily. You and your son are in a lot of trouble, through no fault of your own. Sam and I will be in the area for a while, and we'll try to keep an eye on you. But we can't be here all the time. You showed a lot of spunk last night, but your aim was way off. I like to think I know a little about shooting. I'd be pleased if you'd let me show you a few tricks.
When would you want to do that?
The sooner the better. How about after breakfast?
I don't like guns. When Jack was alive, we never had much to do with him. But things are different now. I'll give it a try.
Good. Now, how about some of those biscuits?
Lily put her hands on her hips and gave him a hard look.
After you call in Sam to join us for breakfast, of course.
Right.
Sam found Tommy in the barn throwing hay to the livestock. He slipped quietly inside, blended into the shadows, and watched the boy work without being noticed. Tommy looked solemn, but not afraid. The boy seemed to be listening to the sounds outside the barn, but continued his work at a steady pace. Sam noted with approval the boy completed his tasks without cutting corners. Sam entered the barn the rest of the way.
Good morning, Tommy. Getting your chores done.
Like every morning. At least that hasn't changed.
With your daddy gone, you'll probably be doing even more of a man's work than before.
Expect so. Me and my mom will handle it.
You will. It won't be easy.
Tommy paused in his work and leaned against the pitchfork.
Sam, would you teach me how to shoot?
I don't know. I suppose your mom would have a lot to say about that. I think Matt is going to teach her a little. She's the adult. So it makes sense that she'd be the one to learn.
But I want to learn, too. My dad never liked guns, never even let me shoot one. The other kids grew up on guns, but not me. Now he's dead because of it. If he had been more like you, he'd still be alive.
Sam stepped forward and grabbed Tommy by the shoulder. He was a little rougher than he intended, but the boy did not protest.
I need to tell you something about your daddy. I never knew him. I never even met him. But I can tell you something about him. He was a good man who did the best he could for you and your mom. He built up this homestead of yours into something good and productive. Don't you ever fault him for that. Don't you ever turn your back on what he taught you.
But what'd he teach me? To just roll over and play dead?
I know he didn't die a coward's death. I know he faced King Petty's gun as a man, with bravery and courage. That's not something you get from a gun. As to what he taught you, son, you may not know that for many years. As you grow, you'll remember some of the things he said and the way he lived, and you'll use them. Then you'll know.
Sam let go of the boy. Tommy looked up at Sam with a curious look.
And how do you know so much about it?
I lost my own father some years ago. I know he died a brave man, because I saw him die. I could do nothing about it, because I made a promise to him. A promise I am now keeping, and will keep until I die. Sometimes I wonder what I learned from him, since the life I'm living is so different than how I started.
I don't understand.
The point is, you have to honor your father and his wishes, even as you follow your own path. You need to remember, there are all kinds of bravery and heroism. None of them come from the barrel of a gun. Men like King Petty may get their way through force and mistake that for courage. Don't you ever make that mistake.
All right, Sam. I'll remember.
I also don't want to hear any more bad talk about your daddy.
I'll do what you say, Sam. But I still want to know, will you teach me to shoot?
We'll talk to your mom about it.
Tommy, Sam, breakfast.
After breakfast.
It was an informal meeting of the town council at Charlie Hacker's restaurant because it was still not safe to do much without King Petty's knowledge and approval. The group met early, before normal business hours, and hoped nobody noticed the lights on earlier than usual.
I'm willing to approach him with the offer. As long as they're sticking around, they ought to have the power of the law on their side.
Sam or Matt?
Though Lester and Daryl Brown weren't actually citizens in the town of Snake Creek, they were considered friends of the Blood Brothers, so their opinions were valued.
Either one would do.
Charlie, Lester, I suggest approaching Matt. From what little I know, I suspect he'd be the more likely to take the job. Sam seems to be taking a more personal interest in the situation.
Either way, Henry, we're playing with fire just talking about this. If Petty found out, he might just shoot each of us for the fun of it. Or worse, who knows what he might do if we actually fire Holt and appoint Matt.
I think we're all just about dead anyway. The longer Petty's allowed free rein, the more harm he's gonna do. He's killed lots of people in the past, but murdering Jack Brandom was just too much. Jack always minded his own business. He was a family man. Had no enemies I know about. Think about it. If Petty can kill him in cold blood and get away with it, the rest of us could be next no matter what we do. Petty just keeps getting meaner, crazier, and getting more and more men working with him. If we don't stop him now, there never will be any stopping him.
The others nodded their heads in agreement.
So, it's decided. We'll fire Holt and hire Matt as soon as he agrees to take the job. Now, the question is, who has the guts to find Matt and offer him the job?
I'll volunteer.
The others looked at him curiously.
I've seen Matt in action. Don't forget my first introduction to him was fighting him. I have a lot of respect for him, but I'm not afraid of him. I'll talk with him.
I'll go along. He's already offered to help us get our cattle back. If we can talk him into pinning on a badge, maybe it'll increase the odds slightly in his favor.
Or make him a target, like the others before him.
Matt's not like the others. He's not likely to let himself go get shot in the back or bought off. I'd lay odds not even King Petty can outdraw him. I can't see Matt Bodine being buried in Boot Hill. Daryl, you're the man. We're authorizing you to offer the position of marshal to Matthew Bodine, effective immediately upon his acceptance. Once he takes office, we'll not question his judgment or try to tell him how to do his job. We'll give him free rein to do the job, no matter what it takes.
Daryl stood and put on his hat.
And tell him if he takes the job, he can have as many meals here as he wants, on the house.
Matt held Lily's hand in his as he showed her how to hold the revolver. The experience was pleasant enough, for her hand was long, slender, and very feminine. Matt, however, kept his mind on business.
Hold the gun lightly. It's not going to run away from you, and it's not going to turn on you. Just relax a little. Hold it securely, not stiffly.
Like this?
She loosened her grip slightly.
Yes. Yeah, you're a fast learner. Now, give it a shot.
Lily's gun was an older model 38, but it would do the job at close range. Matt cleaned it up and adjusted it for her. Now all she needed was a little more coaching and some practice. She fired at a tin can across the yard. The bullets kicked up puffs of dirt, but did not get anywhere near the can.
You're getting the idea.
Across the yard, Sam was working with Tommy. He was using his father's old revolver and was enthusiastically shooting at another tin can. Though he never worked with a gun before, he took to it naturally. Sam had only to show him a technique once for him to learn it and start to practice it. After just an hour of work, the can was riddled with bullet holes.
Yes!
Very good. But keep in mind, anybody attacking you will not be a tin can. He won't be standing still. He'll be trying to kill you. That's a lot different. Don't be getting any false courage because you've had some early success.
I understand, Sam.
Good. Let's progress to a moving target.
Sam had a stack of cans at hand. He picked one up and threw it.
Take a shot, Tommy.
What happened? I was doing so good.
Remember what I said about not getting too cocky? Take it a step at a time. In a situation like this, You need to kind of track the movement and anticipate where it will be by the time you shoot and the bullet arrives. Here, let me show you.
Sam picked up a can and threw it into the air.
Wow!
Show off!
Oh, you make it look easy.
That was the result of years of work. What you should have noticed was the way I directed my gun not at the can, but at where it would be.
Across the yard, Lily suddenly figured out what she was doing wrong. Her can went flying through the air with three neat holes in it.
Oh!
She hugged Matt and then ran over and picked up her son and swung him around.
This is wonderful! I can actually hit the target!
Mom!
Doing better. Wish there was time for more practice. That's what's needed now.
We'll do what we can. Can you show us some more?
Sam pulled some more bullets from his bags and passed them out to the woman and boy, then watched as they carefully reloaded their weapons. Daryl got worried when he heard the shots.
Whoa, boy!
He and his father listened, trying to figure out where they were coming from. Daryl was guessing since Matt and Sam were not in town, they were probably at Lily's. She seemed to be at the center of the current problems. Her place was in the general direction of where the shooting was taking place.
I don't like the sound of that.
I doubt that's anything to worry about. There's only two guns, and the shots are too steady. That doesn't sound like a fight.
Maybe. But considering how dangerous Petty is, I don't want to take any chances.
You're right. Don't go running blindly into the situation, son. Scout it out a little before you lose your temper. Getting yourself killed won't do anybody any good. Especially the Widow Brandon.
Daryl started on again at a faster pace with Lester beside him.
Can't imagine Jack being dead. We were never friends or anything, but he was always around.
And always in your way when it came to Lily. I knew you were courting her for a while. You never told me what happened.
Not much to tell. I think the main problem was that I was out on the range a lot, looking after the cattle. And Jack was closer to home, working for that little place of his. Guess Jack was more what you wanted. Or maybe he was just around more than they.
A lot has changed in the past few years. Up until Petty stole the livestock, we had a pretty good operation started. We're still not broke. If Matt helps us get our cows back, we'll be in good shape. Maybe you can be more what Lily's looking for now.
It'll take her a long time to get over Jack.
Maybe. But you've been waiting a long time for her. And there'll be a time when she starts looking around again. Trust your old man. He's seen it happen. You might consider following your heart, if that's what you want, and kind of pave the way for the future.
I'll think about it.
I wouldn't think too long if I were you. I wouldn't even consider trying to replace Jack. Lily won't be able to keep this place up on her own. If there's any spark left, you might be able to fan it into something hotter.
When Lily's place came into view, Daryl recognized Matt, Sam, Lily, and Tommy in the front yard. Lily aimed at a can and fired several quick shots, sending the tin can zigzagging across the yard.
Looks like a little target practice. It's a good idea.
Daryl's heart sank a little when he saw how close Matt was standing to Lily, helping her with the revolver. Maybe his father was right, and he'd have to start making his interest in the woman known soon. Or was he already too late? As Lily ran across the yard to embrace Tommy, Daryl called out,
"Hello, at the house!"
The shooting stopped as the figures in the front yard turned to face them. Daryl watched Lily closely. She smiled as she greeted the Browns. Daryl wondered if the smile was for him or was left over from Matt. He had never been very good around women and wasn't sure what to think.
Come on in. Matt and Sam are helping us learn how to protect ourselves a little better.
Couldn't hurt. I'd hate to see either of you two hurt.
Watch this.
I think the boy's a natural.
Don't fill his head with ideas.
Though she tried to be stern, Lily's face showed she was proud of her son. Marshal Holt, Hardesty, and Cooper heard the shooting in the distance. Holt stopped his horse and acted as if he were going to turn back to town.
There's been too many bullets flying to suit me. Maybe we'll make this visit another time.
Cooper moved his horse to block the path.
I don't think so. King wanted us to make this visit. Now, we've already been on the receiving end of his craziness. I I don't intend to give him any other opportunities.
Hardesty rubbed the sore spots on his body and groaned slightly.
Maybe you'd like to be the one to tell King we failed again. Not me.
I suppose not.
A few minutes later, the Brandom homestead came into view.
Oh, damn! They have an army down there! And two wolves is among them. How could I ride into that bunch? It'd be suicide.
Going back to King and telling him you failed might be slow torture and suicide.
All right, don't worry. Here's the plan. Halt, you go on down there with your official badge and your official shovel and inform them the law requires their cooperation. Cooper and I will position ourselves so when two wolves and the others come up to stop you, we can open fire on them. It's time we'll get them. It shouldn't take more than a few well-placed bullets to even things up with those two.
One thing wrong with that plan. I'll be out there in the open like a sitting duck. I'll be the one risking my neck while you guys are up here, nice and hidden and out of the line of fire.
One of the hazards of your job.
I still don't like it.
So who asked you?
Hardesty pointed to the grave on the hill.
That's where Brandom is buried. You go on down and we'll get ourselves ready.
Holt hitched up his pants as best he could while still sitting in the saddle and started down the hill toward the house. Sam reloaded his gun and glanced up at the Browns.
What brings you out this way?
I wish we could say it was to cook up another batch of fish, but none of us have had much spare time recently.
You could say that again.
Daryl stepped down from his horse and approached Matt.
Actually, we were here representing the town of Snake Creek. Maybe you didn't know it, but Charlie and Henry are members of the town council. They called a special meeting this morning.
I don't think I like the sound of that.
Just hear the man out.
Anyway, the council decided to ask you to take the job of marshal. Holt will be fired as soon as you say you'll do it.
Sorry, not interested.
Why not? We all need you. You've already indicated you'll help in the fight against Petty. This will just give you the power of the law.
I've served as a Texas Ranger along with a lot of other jobs. But to be honest, I don't like working for others. The minute you accept somebody else's money, you have to start following their way of doing things. I don't like being penned in that way.
Well, they told me you have free rein to do whatever you think needs to be done. Nobody will interfere with you.
I won't back away from a fight, but I'll not accept your offer. You can tell the council thanks, but no thanks.
Charlie even said that if you take the job, you can have unlimited meals at his place, on the house.
By golly, they must be desperate to make that offer, after seeing the way he put the food away yesterday.
If I believed I'd be more help as marshal than as a private citizen, I'd take the job, especially considering Charlie's generous offer. But I just don't feel comfortable with it at this time.
Well, at least we tried.
Daryl turned to Lily.
Are you getting pretty good at this shooting, too?
Better than I expected.
Daryl pulled his rifle.
How about if I show you a few tricks as well?
That'll be just fine.
Daryl approached the woman and placed her hands in the proper position. Matt noticed Lily gave Daryl a smile with a sparkle that was missing when he helped her. He grinned at Sam and stepped out of the way.
A better man than you?
A different kind of man. I wasn't making a play for her anyway. She wasn't my type.
Right. She has a little too much class.
Matt pretended to punch Sam on the shoulder, but stopped when he saw Marshal Holt come into sight near Jack's grave on the hill.
This is becoming a popular place. Looks like we have another visitor. I know I don't like this.
He and Sam watched Holt ride over the hill near Jack Brandom's grave.
Holt by himself isn't a problem. But if he's here, some of King's other men probably aren't too far behind.
Lily doesn't need this.
Can't say I'm real enthused about it myself.
Matt looked over at Daryl and Lily, who were still working with the rifle and talking among themselves.
We've got company. We're going up to check it out.
Daryl took his rifle back from Lily.
Remember what I showed you. I'm going with Matt and Sam. Dad will stay here with you and Tommy.
Lester nodded.
Be on your guard.
Daryl fell into step beside the two blood brothers and walked up the hill. Holt took a shovel from his saddle and placed its tip in the still, soft dirt of the grave. He hadn't actually started to dig when Matt, Sam, and Daryl arrived.
What the hell are you doing?
Now, you boys just stay calm. I'm just doing my duty.
You scum!
Sam and Matt stared at Holt. The marshal seemed to wilt under their gazes.
Look, the only evidence we have is the body. It's within my jurisdiction to gather all the evidence I need.
Holt pushed the tip of the shovel into the dirt. Matt grabbed the handle in an iron grip. Holt could not budge the shovel, though a light sweat broke out on his forehead. Sam took Holt's arm and forced his hand from the handle.
There are different ways of looking at this, I suppose. I'm not a lawyer, but a case could be made that a marshal does have certain powers, even if it does seem to some as if he's harassing an innocent widow woman.
And we could beat the crap out of this person, although that would probably be illegal. Even though he may be a sorry excuse for a man, he does wear a badge.
So, what alternatives do we have?
Holt looked at them both as if they were crazy. His eyes glanced from one to the other, trying to follow the talk.
We could go ahead and try to beat some sense into this fellow, which might be morally right, but legally wrong.
On the other hand, if there was a person in office with a stronger moral character, there would be no need to beat him, except for the fun of it. I imagine some legal basis could be found if we looked hard enough.
You've convinced me.
Matt turned to Daryl.
I've been thinking about our little talk earlier, and I've reconsidered my position. I'll be glad to accept the job as marshal.
Holt's mouth flew open in surprise. Of all the possibilities, this was not one he thought of.
You can't do that. The council has to vote on it. King will eat them all and spit them out for breakfast. There's no way any of them would go against King Petty. You're all lying.
Well, that's more like it. I don't know the proper way of swearing you in, but I think since the council said you have the job immediately upon acceptance, you're the new marshal.
Sounds good. We'll take care of the paperwork later.
A heavy sweat poured down Holt's face. He stood rooted to the spot, not knowing what to do next.
We do need to attend to one thing.
Sam gestured to Holt's chest.
Of course.
Matt reached down and plucked the badge from Holt's shirt, polished it on his sleeve, and pinned it to his own chest.
Now, guess that makes it legal enough.
What is your first act as marshal?
To order this trespasser off the Brandom land. Get out, Holt, or...
Here we go again.
Lily had to admit to herself that even though she never before liked guns, she did like the feeling of handling the guns when her shot hit her intended target. Was it only the night before Holt and Khan paid her that visit? She was so frightened for the safety of herself and Tommy, she could barely function. Now, a few hours later, she felt changed. It was not just that Sam, Matt, and Daryl were present, but she was also doing something on her own to help herself. Lily could see her friends talking with Holt on the hill. She thought back several years. She tried to remember why she rejected Daryl's advances in favor of Jack. Both were good men. She still thought of Daryl from time to time, though they seldom talked. She was a little surprised to see him again, unless he was still interested in her. Daryl wasn't married, after all. No, it was too soon to even think of such things.
But maybe in a year...
She jumped when the rifle shot exploded from some brush near the hill, followed by another shot on the other side of the hill. Somebody was trying to pin down her friends, who had already scurried for cover.
Best get inside, ma'am. You too, Tommy.
But they're shooting.
That's why you'd best get inside. There's not much you can do here. No use taking chances.
What are you planning to do?
Go up and help my son, of course. If you all get inside where it's safe.
We'll do it.
Good.
Lester started up the hill, staying close to the trees and brush. Sam went in one direction and Matt the other. They disappeared into the underbrush, and the shooting stopped almost as quickly as it started. Holt attempted to sneak away. He was stopped when Daryl reached out and grabbed him by his shirt.
Huh?
Not so fast. Where do you think you're going?
Bodine ordered me to get out. I'm just trying to oblige.
Matt crawled back to where Daryl pinned Holt.
I changed my mind. You're staying here a while. You were setting us up. Who's with you?
Hardesty, Cooper, that's all.
Betty's not with them?
Not this time.
Holt suddenly twisted and scampered away. Daryl stood to go after him.
Don't worry about him. If he's smart, he'll get out of the area for good before Petty gets hold of him. Right now, I'm more concerned about the other two.
Higher on the hill, Sam was working his way around the spot from which one of the shots had come. He moved quickly but silently until he was looking down at a familiar face topped with red hair.
Haven't we met before?
Hardesty looked up in amazement as Sam dropped and slid down the hill. He raised his rifle to shoot, but was not fast enough. Even as he fell, Sam started around to the other side of the hill. Cooper knew they failed again as soon as they missed with the first shots. With men like Bodine and Two Wolves, you didn't get a second chance. Cooper heard the single shot from the other side of the hill, knew Hardesty had bought the farm, and it was his turn next. The outlaw looked around, searching for an escape route, and knew there was none. The only path was downhill, toward the house. Of course, the woman and boy were there. He thought maybe he could take one of them as a hostage and bargain his way to safety. It was his only chance. Cooper crawled down the hill, keeping hidden in the brush as much as possible. He made good progress, motivated by desperation, until he was almost to the house.
Come on out. Got you covered.
It was an unfamiliar voice. Cooper jumped to his feet and started to run. Behind him, an older man with bushy eyebrows took a shot at him but missed. Cooper ran as quickly as he could until he got to the house. He didn't pause, but kicked the door open and forced his way inside.
Shit!
Only to look into the barrels of two guns staring him in the face. Lily was holding a rifle, and the boy was holding a small handgun. The thug started to back up to the door, even as he raised his gun toward the mother and son. The bullets hit with such an impact, they propelled Cooper backward through the door into the yard. Matt and Daryl were standing next to the door, ready to go in after the thug. They aimed their guns at the figure flying past, but could tell at a glance their help wasn't needed this time. Matt walked up to the body as the mother and son came through the door. Lily was almost shaking. Tommy's face was expressionless.
Good shooting. Don't think they expected you to be prepared for them this time.
I killed him. I've never even shot a gun before today. Oh my God. Now I've killed a man. Oh my God.
Daryl reached out to Lily, allowing her to bury her face in his chest as she sobbed.
You had no choice. You've got to protect yourself. You did the right thing.
Sam walked down the hill.
Daryl's right. It's not easy shooting a man. But remember how you felt last night. How helpless you felt. Now you know at least you're not helpless. Keep that in mind.
Tommy stepped forward, and Daryl put his arm around him as well. Matt and Sam stepped to one side as Daryl talked with Lily and the boy. Lester joined them.
Your son's good with them.
Yes, he is.
He gestured to Matt's chest.
Looks like he talked you into taking the job after all.
It was a good argument for my doing so I changed my mind.
What's the next step?
Bring the fight to Petty. Let's go get your cattle.
No, absolutely not. Tommy is not gonna go with you.
The others in the room, Henry and Clarissa Ponder, Daryl and Lester Brown, Matt and Sam, looked at her in surprise. She apparently changed a lot in the past few days. She was more forceful, more strong-willed.
He's your son. Nobody has the right to tell you what to do, but he wants to go.
Please, Mom. It'll be good for me.
This isn't some kind of picnic. Matt and Sam are going into dangerous territory. They could get killed. You could get killed. This isn't something you're doing for fun.
I handled myself back at home.
They also weren't looking for us to have guns and know how to use them.
But I know how to use a gun now. I want to do something that'll make a difference. I want to help.
You can help by staying here and staying safe. I don't want you to start down that road.
What road?
We could go on like this forever. Like Sam said, nobody can tell you what to do with your Tommy. But there's lots of people who've done a man's job at his age. And you might consider respecting his wishes.
It might help the boy. He needs to find his own way. And Lily, there won't be many times he'll have as many of us looking out for him as there are today.
And I want to go.
Well, but I still don't like it.
Matt squeezed Tommy's shoulder.
Good to have you with us.
As for Mr. Brown's cattle, we could use one of Petty's and Holt's arguments. An allegation has been made. And Matt, as marshal, is simply investigating and returning stolen property to its rightful owners. Not that anybody would question us too much.
They'd be too busy shooting. Just joking, Lily. It won't be that dangerous.
Don't humor me, Matt. I said I'd let him go. You lie to me and I might change my mind.
Matt decided to pursue a safer line of discussion.
Let's talk strategy. Lester, Daryl, you two know this area better than anybody. What do you think's going on with the stolen cattle?
They're being herded and penned up somewhere until they can get them to market up north. There's no doubt of that. Only problem is I haven't figured out where. Not yet. And I haven't had the guts or the manpower to look into it further.
Probably in some of them hills up north. There's some hollows up there that might serve that purpose.
It doesn't take a genius to track a herd of cows. I tracked your rustlers a little ways before that ill-fated fish fry. It shouldn't be that hard to find them. Even if we have some problem, Sam will be able to figure it out. He's the best tracker I know, and I've known some good ones.
True enough. The main problem is not finding the cows, but in keeping Petty from finding us. Matt, you and Sam have evened things up a lot, but last I looked, he still has more guns than we have. I know he's got men with the cattle. It won't be a cakewalk. I have to agree with Lily about that.
So we'll have to leave separately so as not to raise suspicion on Petty's part. Find the cattle and move fast, real fast, so we can get back before Petty knows what hit him, before he has a chance to try any more tricks with Lily.
That means we don't delay a minute. We need to act this morning, within the hour. We have a slight advantage in that Holt has disappeared from sight. So while Petty knows his men failed, I imagine he expected them to, he doesn't know the city council is also opposing him. That will probably come out real soon. No telling how he'll react. We haven't a minute to lose.
Lily, you stay with Clarissa and Henry until we get back. It's best nobody knows where you are or where to find you. The homestead can get by a day or so without you. Clarissa and Henry already said you're welcome there.
I just don't understand any of this. I don't like any of this.
Chances are nobody ever will. All we can do is the best we can. For now, that means fighting Petty every way we can. We will win against him. There is no doubt of that. The problem is how to keep you and Tommy safe in the meantime.
Would you let me see that gun?
Lily handed him the revolver. Sam broke it open, checked its action, then placed it and some additional bullets on the table.
Be sure to remember what we showed you. Keep this with you at all times.
I'll do what you say. I still don't like it.
None of us do, Lily. None of us do.
Lily had no expression on her face as the others left the room at different times to meet at the agreed-upon spot. Tommy and Daryl were the last ones to leave.
I guess it's tough to let go.
Yes. More than I thought. It's happening a lot sooner than I planned.
I don't have any kids, so I can only guess. But I know it's tough to let somebody go that you love. Husband or son.
Clarissa turned slowly and sat down at the table near Lily.
It hurts so much. Jack being gone, I mean. Everybody's been so nice, and I'm trying to be strong as if it's no problem. I smile, make biscuits, and sometimes for a minute or two at a time, I feel almost like it'll be all right. But I can never really get it out of my mind.
What you're feeling is just natural. It's only been a few days. For now, you continue with your life. In time, who knows? You might even grow and become a better person.
I already find myself doing things differently than when Jack was alive. It's kind of scary.
Do you like it?
Yes. That's what's scary. It's not me.
I don't see anybody else but you here.
You know what I mean.
Yes, I do. Nobody is going to say your husband getting killed was a good thing. But you still have your life. You owe it to yourself and to your son to do the best you can for yourself. If that means change, then why fight it?
And Tommy?
He'll also change a lot, but that's not bad. Sometimes we have to say goodbye so we can find a new life, even if we are happy with the old life. Just give it some time.
You're a smart woman, Clarissa. Wish I had some of what you have.
You have more than you realize. A lot of people wouldn't have been able to face what you have over the past few days. Admit that to yourself.
I'll try. Do you have any more advice?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I do.
Clarissa picked up the gun from the table, reached over, and slipped it into Lily's apron pocket.
Keep the gun handy.